Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, heard here live on MonkaRadio.com, where music combines me. Y'all already know me, I'm Marcia, alongside my guest. This man turns anything he tries into gold. He's former ECW star Chubby Dudley, host of the Bay Ragney Show, CEO, founder of Totally Driven Entertainment, has his own YouTube show called Coco Bay. My friend, the one and only, Mr. Bay Ragney. Bay, welcome back to Damage Radio, man.
R.C. What's going on, my brother? And let me say this, like, right off the bat, this dude, like, people don't realize how good of a dude this is, and this dude has really become one of my best friends in the last 2 years.
Likewise, man. You and I have been through thick and thin, and, you know, it just shows how much of a bond you and I have friendship-wise that, you know, we can be there for each other in a heartbeat, because friends are hard to come by these days.
You know what's funny? Like, if you really think about, like, the whole completely damaged circle and you go back in time, and it was literally close to 10 years ago when we first hooked up, did you think we'd be at this place now in life?
No. I bite my tongue there. No, not at all, man.
Exactly.
Just like the wrestling landscape, how it changed where everyone wanted to have a video show. Back then, man, when it was completely down back in 08, Matt and I were just talking about it. It had that old school feel where it felt like you didn't know what was going to happen next, you know, and it was like that, the old school video, the old school interviews behind, you know, at Zern's Farmer's Market. Now everyone has to show if they go to a convention and just takes the whole fun out of it, man.
Well, you know what? It was like that a lot in, you know, back when I was promoting shows, like, all of a sudden, there was, like, all these promotions popping up in the early 2000s and stuff. It gets kind of crazy, and the wrestling business is crazy, because especially now, it's, like, very mainstream, and everybody wants to be involved in the wrestling business, and they think it's hip and it's cool, but they don't, like, they don't want to pay their dues. Like, they don't want to get the true chair shot over their head. They don't want to go through a table. They don't want to, like, get in the ring and really experience the wrestling business. They don't want to, you know, they just want to, oh, I'm in the wrestling business. Here we go. Let's do this. And we're going to, like, promote shows and do it. No.
See, let's talk about that a little bit. Like, how, like, you were, you know, in the wrestling business and you did some promoting. We had fans just, you know, up and saying, I want to be a promoter today. And they try to run their own show, man, and it just gets derailed. And then they either run off with the money or you see wrestlers bash them on the internet. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's so funny. Like, again, going back to the early 2000s when I was last promoting shows, there was a couple, like, promoters popping up doing that type of stuff. And, you know, the boys, you know, some of the boys who were looking for work, legitimate workers, or workers who were kind of backyarders who I never would have booked, but were getting booked by these promoters. Because these promoters were basically backyard promoters. It was just a funny situation. Like, you know, there was one show I went to at a church building or a church hall. And it was at the time, like, the beginning days of the hardcore title in WWE, WWF at the time. And they did this whole, it was hysterical. It was funny as hell. And it was such a great time. It made the whole show, honestly. But I think the title changed hands in, like, 20 to 30 times in that night. But the funny part was, and I want to put this guy over, and I'm sure people will remember him. There was a guy, Brian Butler, who was in a wheelchair. He was, I don't know if it wasn't cerebral palsy. He had something else, but he was in a wheelchair since he was born. Huge wrestling fan, great guy, and actually, like, I became very good friends with his mom, and I was there. Sadly, I was there, like, the day he died. Like, his mom asked me to come there, and I had gotten a bunch of local guys that worked for me to come there and visit him as he was dying. But Brian Butler, he was there at the show, and we pulled the thing where we pulled him out of the wheelchair and threw him on the ground, and we did a thing where like we grabbed him and threw him over somebody, and boom, he became the hardcore champion for like, you know, 20 seconds and made him champion. So and like that guy, like he, like I like he had my phone number and he would call me all the time. We would talk all the time. Such a beautiful human being. And he would, like, I can't tell you how many times the guy called me up in tears because he was so appreciative of that moment. And he had no idea. It was a complete shoot. Like, and the promoter had no idea. Like, it was complete shoot amongst the boys. Like, you know, it was one of them things where, you know, whenever you have that, like, you have that feeling and you have just had that connection with people where you can look into a person's eyes and you can read what's going on in their head. You can read their mind. That's exactly what was going on at that moment. And I could still picture it clear as day. Like it just happened like 10 minutes ago. Like I could picture him. I can't remember who it was. And I'm like contradicting myself right now, but I could picture him like coming out of his wheelchair and making that pin. And then a few seconds later, taking the pin and turning the belt over somebody. But it was just a great hysterical moment that to me, he was a kid because he was just like 10 years younger than me, that he was just so appreciative of until the day he passed away. And, you know, I just wish more people were appreciative of things in life like that. Like life is too short and you need more beautiful moments like that. Like the littlest things people need to like grab onto and not worry about bad things happening in their life.
Definitely. And it just goes to show you that family does not always have to be blood related.
No.
And how did you feel personally having his mother say like, "Hey, Bay, we want you here."
Oh, wow. Like, his mom is still like, I love that lady. Like, you know, we're still friends on Facebook and she'll still shoot me messages, you know, usually like once a year, like it's usually birthday time, you know, birthdays on Facebook are truly like the greatest moment of the year because that's the one time of the year you hear from all the
everybody.
People that you've known for 30, 40 years. Yeah. And let's face it, like for some reason, we're friends on Facebook, but we like are scared to like say, "Hey, how are you?" Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're scared to say, "Hey, how are you?" But if it's your birthday, that "Hey, how are you?" comes out. And you get all these messages from people and people that have your phone number or whatever will send text messages, but whatever. So I'll hear from her usually, whether it's her birthday or my birthday, and we'll send that message to each other and we'll do a little quick catch up. But yeah, that woman, she'll always bring up that. And I can tell you, like, she called me up and she said, "Look, like, Brian, I forget what it was. Like, maybe it was cancer or something like that. I forget the actual circumstances, but he was diagnosed with whatever it was and he didn't have long." And she said, "Do you think you can get some of the boys together and come over to our apartment and visit him and just, you know, hang out for a few hours and just talk with him?" And that's what we did. And I'll tell you what, we went over to his apartment and he was in bed and we literally picked him up out of bed and brought him out into the living room and carried him and put him on the couch. And there was like five or six of us there. And I'll tell you, some of the ones off the top of my head I can remember was Maverick, Frank Cody, Dr. Ruthless, Ron Starr, myself. I think Mike Keener was there, a few others. And I'm sorry if I don't forget them. But, you know, that dude, Brian, supported us through all of our shows, whether it was ECW or Liberty All-Star Wrestling that I was running at the time. And he was there at every show and he loved and supported us and would have done anything for us. And this poor guy was reaching the end of his rope. And, you know, that's all he wanted was just to be surrounded by friends. And we were able to give him that. And it was such such an emotional thing. And I truly will never forget that. I was honored not only to be his friend, but to be part of you know, his passing on to that. And let me say it. Like, it's funny because, you know, as we do these modern day Completely Damaged episodes, like, people don't see us, and me and Cameron are staring at each other through Skype, and we get into these deep discussions. Anymore, me and Cameron do these, like, Damaged radios, and we go to such deep levels. And look, his eyes are lighting up right now, which is on his face. And it's so beautiful because I love these episodes more than anything, because we go on such deep, truly levels of life beyond wrestling that are amazing.
Maybe forget Coco and Bay. Maybe Bay and Cam again on YouTube. When we just talk about stuff that just make people cry and make people smile and be like, I want to be their friends.
So it's going to be Coco Cameron or Cameron Bay, and we're just going to do episodes and make you cry every week.
Right. We can do Instagram Live, Facebook Live. You let me know, man. That'd be great. a little self promotion tag team. It's awesome. When you were promoting, what were you looking for as far as the wrestler types? Were you looking for, like, you know, a certain amount of ladies? You know.
Okay, so. That's a really good question.
I've been bringing the heat lately, man.
That's good. I like it. I like it a lot. So, all right. So that at that time, my last phase of wrestling promoting was like from 99 to 2002. So 20 years ago. It was like I was always brought up on that whole old school thing. And what I was always trying to do was trying to do a modern era of, like, Mid-South UWF wrestling, like Bill Watts and old school NWA, and mix it in with the extreme of ECW, and that modern flair of, you know, Ring of Honor was just starting at that same time when Feinstein just started Ring of Honor. And we were actually promoting out of the same building every month. It was funny. So I was trying to take the best of all worlds and combine it into one package of old school meets new school and bring it up. So whether it was male or like the female world, still at that time, 20 years ago, it wasn't like it is today where, and again, I'm so happy it is, because the women are taking over, and I don't care. Like, my two favorite worlds of entertainment are, you know, music, and I'll say wrestling, even though I don't follow it anymore, and the women are taking over in both of those realms of entertainment. So it's their time. Give them their due. Let them shine. Don't be scared of the ladies. Look, and I'll say this. It's funny. I just said this with my future father-in-law the other day. We were talking about women and stuff. I said, look, women are the strongest. Why do you think they're the ones that give birth? I could never give birth. You know, I have problems going to the bathroom, let alone giving a birth. You know, so
yeah.
Let them shine. They deserve to shine.
Yes, they do. And they're also tough as nails. Speaking of one that you and I know very well, Primetime Amy Lee. Who do you think Primetime Amy Lee would go against if she had to go against a guy in Liberty All-Star Wrestling? Ooh. Now, since he had the intergender matchups and all that, who would you like to see her against? And who would you book her against?
Wow. Oh, that's such a good question. Dude, I love these questions. Okay, so
would
first
it be
off,
a body slam thing or match or whatever?
So first off, let me say this. I love Amy Lee. Like, Amy Lee is true legit. Like, what you see is what you get. And Amy is one of them people who You can't find a more honest person, not only in wrestling, but in life. And I've known her for, oh, wow. It's close to 30 years now. And we have always been stand up and amazing. And I'm going to tell this story because after this interview airs, I'm going to send it to her and I want her to listen to it. So I had to tell the story because it's not an Amy Lee story without telling this story.
Right.
So, Amy Lee, back in the like early mid 90s, I used to hang out a lot in the whole Philadelphia Marriott scene and everything. And when I was in ECW as a Hell Rider and going in as a Dudley. So we would hang out whenever WWF at the time would come to town, WCW come to time, town. And then ECW was running our shows. Philadelphia Airport Marriott was the spot to hang out after the shows, the party. So I was always there religiously. So was Amy. So one night, we were sitting in the lobby of the Philadelphia Marriott and probably half drunk, half shot in that. Woo. And here comes Amy, who is also half drunk, half shot in the woo. And there was this glass table. Right. I can still picture this. It was one of the funniest moments. I wish somebody can do this as a cartoon. So there was this glass table and Amy comes over. It was me and Frank Cody. We're sitting there on this love seat couch thing in the lobby. And she comes over and she's like, "Hey, boys, what's up?" And as she's talking to us, she's like going to sit down on this glass table. So it's like in slow motion, we see her, her wazoo bottom is slowly going down onto the glass. And I can feel my inner self go, "No, stop, don't do it." And she goes and literally just plants her butt onto this glass and it just shatters. Yeah. And she, whoop. Her feet are up in the air. she's now stuck in this table. And I lost it. I was hysterical. Me and Frank are just hysterical laughing
at it. Are you okay? Just laughing for
No. We didn't care. No. At that point, you deserved it. It was hysterical. And 30 years later, I can never talk with Amy, and I've talked with her after my relocation and my situation of life, and we've had some funny conversations and laughs. But no matter what, any conversation we have, two things always come up: glass table and blue Hawaiians.
What I remember most about her is the first time I ever interviewed her was at Triple WA, and she called me a pencil neck. And the other time was when she stuck my head where the sun doesn't shine, right in her bosoms, if you want to say nicely, for Monker yes. Radio.
Yes.
And Lindsay was filming, which was awesome.
Damage.
Damage. So all that, she was always just so nice, and you never, she would do is coming at us at all the conventions and all the bar table is always popping, man.
I'll tell you what, and I was just talking about this the other night to Coco, because we've been watching a lot of the A&E wrestling documentaries and Dark Side of the Rings and all, and I've been showing her that stuff because she was the casual wrestling fan, Coco, so she watches this stuff with me and gets the insight from this stuff I know and stuff right. Where I was present during a lot of this stuff. So it's a whole different perspective. But I had brought up one of the funnest times I ever had at any of the conventions that we did, when we did the completely damaged stuff together, was a time we had, it was in Bucks County at, it was a Votech place.
Steinemania. Yep.
Okay.
Axel Rotten and Johnny Valiant.
Johnny Valiant. That was the funnest time because Johnny Valiant, he like had his little private stash of beers in his bag and he was drinking the whole day. And he was like, every time somebody come up to him for an autograph, he would talk them into like buying two or three autographs. He was a total like huckster salesperson. And I was just hysterical watching him at work. Like, I wish, like, if I owned a car dealership, I want him as my salesperson. Because right. That guy be selling 100 cars a month.
You remember our table? We had everybody, man. Like, we rolled, like, 15 deep, and we were right behind Maria Kanellis.
Yeah. Yeah, remember? We had Jimmy Neidhart at the one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a
lot. I don't know how we got him, man. I guess Amy Lee helped us out with that one.
Amy Lee was tight with Jim Neidhart. And yep. Jim Neidhart, and then, like, he, look, Jim Neidhart's an icon. But I've gone through some, like, crazy stuff with Jim Neidhart. Like, every too. Time I see his daughter, like, on these interviews or in matches and all, I think to myself, like, wow. Like, yeah.
We got to think in Essington when we had, it was myself, you, Blue Meanie, Cindy Rogers, Amy Lee, Amy Social, Missy yeah. Sampson. We were always stacked, man. And people would come yeah. out to our table not even knowing us. And we were the biggest table there.
Yeah.
You know, all the hype, you know, when there's other bits, like, and then you would say, all right, Cam, go do your thing. And then, like, at Sign of Meanie at Bucks County, we got that. And he didn't know who I was, but he did show.
Right.
You know, it's one of the best interviews I've done because I didn't really know too much about him. And he was just going off and on and on, you know, cutting promos for me. The worst. You never knew what would happen when we would do these conventions.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. So looking back on your time as a Dudley, let's take a trip down Dudleyville Lane. What were some of the things you remember most and the things that you missed the most and don't miss?
I don't miss taking chair shots from Devon. Because, stiff. Yo, stiff is not the word. Like, honest to God, like, I remember taking them chair shots and hitting the mat and thinking to myself, what the hell am I doing here? Is it really worth it? Like, seriously, is it really worth it? But then also too, like, on the flip side, so is it really worth it? And then 2 hours later, you're back at the time the Travelodge, as the Blue Mini dubbed it, the Cylinder of Sin, and it's literally the Cylinder of Sin. Like, you are in complete debauchery. Like, it's just, it's like rock and roll high school. It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was just insanity. So at that point, like 2 hours later, it was worth it. Like, okay, hit me with a chair and let's go party and let's go have sex and everything else. Like, let's.
Can you be straight edge in ECW?
Ooh, I can't.
Right.
Not me.
Right.
No, I couldn't. No, no. But I guess there's some that could. Like, some, you know,
yeah.
Some people who are straight edges before they even go in ECW. Yeah, absolutely.
But temptations are, you know what, I bet.
Yeah, like, see me. Okay, so me personally, like, my big thing has always been drinking. Okay? I started drinking at, like, 11, 12 years old. So at that point, I'm 25, 26 years old. I'm drinking half my life, literally. And, you know, it just get to be older and funner and whatever. But, yeah, it's it matters on your upbringing, your lifestyle or whatever. Like, if you were straight edge going into an ECW-type situation, I have no doubt you can remain that lifestyle. But if you're somebody like something I've always said about myself personally, like, you know, in ECW, you know, I like to party and it's no hidden thing. yeah, you know, I like to drink, and I drank a lot then, and I drink a lot now sometimes, but I was never a drug person. Drugs was never my thing. So if you're going to go into a situation like that and you're straight, there's no reason why you still can't be a straight edge person. If you're going to go into that situation doing drugs or alcohol or whatever, it's going to tempt you to take you to different levels that you didn't expect or experience.
Now, was it hard when, you know, you said you were drinking? Was it hard to hang out with the boys afterwards if they were doing the drugs part too? Or was it just like, you know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, we can party, whatever?
See, again, that was my personal thing. Like,
yeah.
I've been around drugs, hardcore drugs, from the time I was very young. It was just something for me personally that I was never attracted to and very scared of, because I know my personality, and I thought to myself, like, if I start dabbling in this stuff or touching on this stuff, like, it's not going to end good. So I stayed away from it. I have very good personal best friends of mine that have gone down that road and that path, and have dealt with the hardest core of drugs you can deal with and have made it. And I have ones that have not. So, you know, and that reasons like that is why I have always stayed away from it, as well as, you know, people I looked up to in life, whether it was rock stars or music, wrestling stars or whatever. Yeah, the drug situation always just scared me. Like, I never minded like smoking pot or smoking a joint or even hash. Like, I think that might be like the hardest drug I ever did was smoke hash. But I never got into the world of cocaine or pills. Pills scare me even more than cocaine, because so many, especially, you know, in the last 20 something years, so many of the boys have gotten into that world, and so many of the boys that I know from ECW and other situations, and, you know, they have they've OD'd on pills because they're mixing it with alcohol and stuff, and no, I don't want to do that.
All right, kids at Montgomery County Community College, stay away from the drugs. Drugs are bad, okay? And
exactly
right. And so you talked about, you know, you don't miss the stiff shots from Devon. What was the worst shot you actually took in general in ECW?
It was definitely from Devon.
Really?
Definitely from Devon. I can't tell you the exact one, but I can tell you it was definitely from Devon.
Was it like the back, the head, or was it all over usually?
It was always the head. Always the head. That was always the shots that I took was always to the head. And, you know, it's crazy too, because like when I was when I first was initially training in the business, you were taught to be very light, don't lay it in, just make it look good. And then things changed around 92, 93. Lay it in a little more. Lay it in. Don't be scared. And then when ECW went extreme, like, I went from being in matches with guys and be like, you know, you're in the corner and you're working your spots and all. Like, it went from 93, it was like, all right, cool. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Here's this, here's that. Punch me, lay this in, blah, 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 blah. To 94, 95, it's like, hit me. Don't be scared. Hit me. Like, lay it in. I want you to hit me. Because it got to that point where you had to, because the crowd, if you didn't lay it in, the crowd was going to call you out on it. And it was, which it got scary, because it got to a point where, like, I was taking shots from people, and even like chair shots from Devon, like, you know, I'm getting whacked with metal and getting hit in the face with punches and all. And I was like, you know, I'm selling it, and I'd be laying there and I'm thinking to myself, this don't hurt no more. You know, it's like, yeah. What's going on? Like, this don't even hurt no more. So it was just like, So it literally got to, like, I can't tell you how many times I'd be in the corner in a match. And I was just freaking hit me. I don't care. Just hit me. Make it look good, or I'm going to hit you back, and you're going to be sorry.
Now, let's fast forward to now in Nashville.
Don't hit me.
Yeah.
No. Don't hit me. Please don't hit me.
Yeah, right. No, you're doing big things now, man. You got your own YouTube show going. You had your the Bay Ragney show. You recently just got offered a spot in an article, right?
Yeah. So, you know, so it's crazy. So 2 years ago, this September, I've moved to Nashville. Got a whole new life, a whole new lease on life. I have a new girlfriend, Coco Warbucks. That's her quote unquote stage name. And we've gone through hell. Bottom line, we've gone through hell and changes, and we're still coming out on top. Like, where we're going through, situation I've gone through, she hasn't gone through in her life. And then we hit with a pandemic that's just, you know, everybody has gone through a living hell with this pandemic. And that's a whole nother story. You could do 52 weeks of episodes on the pandemic. But so we were trying to, like, think of a way, like, how can we, like, move forward? Because how many people, including myself and Coco and many people listening, you know, you are trying to be an adult, trying to like live your life and have the right job and support your family and support yourself and everything. Pandemic comes along and boom, no more job. Like, you're screwed. So it's like, what are we going to do? And, you know, you go through all this stuff, and like, something I've always been involved in has been flipping stuff on eBay. Whether it's eBay or, you know, now it's Facebook Marketplace or these selling sites. But I've always been interested in that stuff since I was a little kid, like collecting things, whether it's collectibles or anything that I can get cheap and flip higher. And so just over almost a year, might even be like a year now, like, we started dabbling with it, and we were dabbling for a little while. And earlier this year, we were like, you know what, like, we could really do this. We can really make this like a thing. So she's like, well, let's try to like make this a business, like a family business. So that's what we've been trying to do. It's, you know, Coco Bay. We're on eBay. We're on Mercari and Poshmark and Facebook Marketplace. And what we're doing now is a big thing in this whole world is doing YouTube videos. So what we do is we go out every week to garage sales, estate sales, flea markets, whatever it is, and I strap a GoPro to my chest, and she has her phone, and we're filming stuff nonstop. And we make these little episodes, and we pop them up on YouTube so people can watch our adventures on YouTube. And, you know, it's crazy. It's a lot of fun. Like, 2-3 weeks ago, so, like, I'm on an email list for estate sales, and it was funny. Like, I saw the one estate sale, and I could just see by the items. I said to myself, I bet you that's an old NFL football player.
Yep.
Right?
I'd love to say that.
So that day, I think we went to like 6 or 7 garage sales, 4 or 5 estate sales, a couple Goodwills. And so we go to the estate sale, and we're walking through like this huge house in Tennessee. It's like in a real nice section of Nashville. And as soon as I walked in the door, like, I walk in the door, and there's like this big winding spiral staircase, and there's a closet right there. And I go right to the closet, and there's like all these shirts on the their hanger, and they're NFL Hall of Fame polo shirts. I'm like, whose freaking house is this? Whose house? Like, now I want to know. So we're walking more, and they had a table set up. It was like all, like, footballs from all pro games that were signed by everybody in the all pro game that were selling for like $200-$300 a piece. And then I found out it, so it was former NFL Houston Oiler offensive lineman Mike Munchak, who, I mean, if you have gray hair like me, you'll remember a guy like Earl Campbell from the Houston Oilers. So this guy, Mike Munchak, was offensive lineman. He used to open the holes for Earl Campbell. Mike went to Penn State back in like 79, 80, and I got some of his programs from – it was funny. So we did like a whole tour of the house, which you can watch the video on our YouTube channel. But like in his basement, like some of the rooms like was his personal gym, which was really cool to go through his gym. You can see that in the video. And he had like an office set up where that's probably where like he watched. Like, so this guy, he played for the Houston Oilers, and then he was in the organization. Then they moved here to Tennessee. They're now the Titans. He was head coach of the Titans for a couple of years. So he like had a closet that was just filled with old game programs from when he played and when he coached. So like everything in the house was like super overpriced. Like I knew if I bought it, if it was for a personal thing, that's great. But to try to like sell it and make money, there was no profit in it, except for the programs. So I bought a box of programs. I probably got like 30 programs for like, and I got one t-shirt for $3. So the t-shirt was like from a Texas Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame ceremony from 2002. I think it was, where he was honored. Troy Aikman was honored. Some NASCAR drivers were honored. Yeah. So I got that. That was his personal shirt. And like I said, like this box of programs for $9. So, but like everything else was just so crazy overpriced. Like I never would have made money if I paid the money for it.
So but, anything, it's free game at an estate sale then, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fun times. Like, so if you go to estatesales.net, anybody can just sign up and get on the email list. So every day I get an email that tells me all the estate sales that are happening the next day. So I map out and see, like, it'll give you all the pictures and everything. And I look and see, is there anything like worthwhile or whatever? Anything strikes my fancy. So, yeah.
It's great to watch the videos because you and Coco are like, are so like, you know, like connected and like united, you know, like you guys get each other's sense of humors and you could tell when you're not feeling the video, you know, when you're just like, all right, let's get this over with and make some money. And like, you could tell when she's like that too. And it's just like, you guys really go off each other really well.
You know, that's a good point. It is funny because there's times like, it's a chore. To actually like be filming it. Like I can't imagine like the reality show people. Like I get it now. Like there's times like I'm trying to like in my head, like I just want to rush like today. So today we're like, all right, we're going to go to a couple Goodwills. Her daughter had her dancing classes and stuff like that. So we went and dropped her daughter off for a couple of hours. And I'm like, all right, we're going to go hit some Goodwills. And we rushed to the Goodwills and so we're trying to film for YouTube. We're trying to film for Instagram. We're trying to film for TikTok. And you got to hold the camera, the phone, each different way to film this stuff. It's literally a pain in the ass. And you're doing 2 to 10 takes for each one. And at times it's just like, all right, come on. You see people going to Goodwill. I'm losing stuff here. Let's just freaking go.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, talking about big things happening in Nashville, August 7th, Rock and Pod, man. You got guys like Matt Penfield, who I didn't know existed anymore. It was the MTV VJ. Billy Sheenan, Ricky Rackin Man, like all these guys I never even heard of, but are big names in the Rock and Pod. You got Matthew Olds and McKissick and Porter coming up from Philly. So many people come here to this thing. Ken Mills, who's a big Kiss guy. Talk Ken about Mills. This why people should come.
The pod father himself, Ken Mills. Yes. All right, so Rock and Pod, it's crazy. Like Rock and Pod was an event that initially brought me here to Nashville. So Rock and Pod started technically, I guess is it 5 years now ago? And the guy who started it, Chris Sinzak, and his co-host, Aaron Camaro, they do probably the number one podcast in like the hard rock metal world called Decibel Geek Podcast. And they started this yearly podcast convention for rock podcast, which is amazing. And like the first 2 years that it happened, like I was like jealous and envious. I was like, oh my God, like I need to get there. I need to do this. I need to be part of this. And then the third year, they did a contest where it was like, we're going to give away a free thing for a podcast. And I happened to win. And I remember like coming to do Completely Damaged with you and Matt and like begging Matt, like, dude, I want to come to Nashville. Can I hook a ride with you guys? And I'll like, just let me hook a ride with you guys and I'll be good. And I'll get everything set up. And he was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
It's a ride.
Yeah. It's a ride. Give me. Well, it's more than a ride. It's a 12-hour ride. So I entered this contest, and lo and behold, by the fate of God and everything, like I won. So it brought me here to Nashville. I landed here in Nashville August 8th, 2019. And from that point on, I knew, like, this is my new home. And 6 weeks later, I moved here. Nashville is just an amazing place. Rockin' Pod, if you like hard rock, metal, rock and roll, you want to be at Rockin' Pod. Like, there's no BS. There's no – seriously, this is the rock and roll convention. If you compare this to the – compare this to San Diego Comic-Con for all the comic book geeks of the world, and I'm one of them. This is that same equivalent for the rock and rollers of the world. Like, the lineup here, you have, like you said, Billy Sheehan. You got Ricky Rackman from Headbangers Ball. You got Greg Bissonette, who played drums for David Lee Roth with Billy Sheehan back in the early days. I mean, the list is endless. Tony Harnell from TNT. Oh my God, there's like 50 people going to be there. Carmine and Vinnie Appice and Apice. It's not just one day. Like, it's a 3-day, it's a whole weekend. Like, there's a thing on Friday. There's a concert on Friday night that's got all different acts playing, and then there's like a giant jam. Ron Keel, another legendary guy. Ron Keel, I've interviewed many times. I love the guy to death. He's involved. You got
comedians there too.
Craig Gass is going to be there.
Yeah.
Who does the best Gene Simmons impersonation, probably better than Gene Simmons. it's just the ultimate show of rock and roll. It's like, seriously, I can't wait for it. I'm going to be hanging out on and off all weekend long. People just need to be there. Like, seriously.
How would you compare it to like a pro wrestling convention? Diehard fans for rock and roll compared to diehard fans versus.
It's like I said, like it's on that level, like San Diego Comic-Con, whatever the ultimate wrestling convention is, it's that same level. There's not a music or rock and roll convention anywhere in the country, nowhere near this level. Like, there used to be one in Philly, like a small one, but it's nowhere near this level. Seriously, like this is a 3-day event that, which is now involving concerts, multiple all day long panels, where you have like each hour different panels, and you're going to hear different worlds of the rock and roll music world exposed, whether it was, you know, the icons of MTV, Ricky Rackman, Mark Goodman, Matt Pinfield, just different levels of the music world, from guys that broke through to the other side and were top of the heap to guys that were in the lower realm that were close and just didn't break through because of whatever the situation was with promotions or record labels and stuff like that. I mean, bands like Tour Tour, Every Mother's Nightmare. I mean, the list is just endless. Saigon Kick. I mean, so many guys. this is truly like the lineup on this one compared to the one, you know, there wasn't one last year because of the pandemic, but the one that I was at 2 years ago that I was actually part of, it, the one that Chris and Aaron have lined up this year dwarfs the one from 2 years ago. It's double the size.
Right. Now, do you have to wear masks at this one or?
No, no. Okay. Nashville's wide open. Nashville's wide open. There's no mask mandates or anything like that. So people can come. If you want to wear a mask, if that makes you feel comfortable, wear a mask. You know, that's on everybody's discretion. I think that's the way it should be. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. That's fine and dandy. Who cares?
Right.
If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask.
Don't wear it. Yeah. So another thing that's changing is the pro wrestling landscape. The scene's been unbelievable lately. Companies are working together, like NWA you see with like Ring of Honor, and you see like AEW now working with New Japan and Impact Wrestling. And it's just like we're seeing so many things that we never thought we would see before. Like Nick freaking Gage in AEW.
How did that happen?
Like I have no, like maybe MJF, you know, who wrestled in ZZW at the time, maybe he made some calls. Like I don't get it. Like I was thinking about that the other day. Like AEW Fight for the Fallen, which happened this past Wednesday night. The show had everything. You had Conan managing Santana and Ortiz. Conan came out of the blue, you know, and then you got Tully Blanchard managing FTR. Then later that night you see King Haku come out and he's managing somebody from New Japan for the IWG title. And then you see him do the Tonkin Death Grip on a guy, which is freaking insane, you know. Chris Jericho, Five Labors of Jericho, which means he has to go through five matches in order to wrestle MJF, a guy he's feuding with in AEW. So he had to verse the chairman, Sean Spears, first, and then he beat him, and then MJF said, okay, we're going to go a little hardcore. Some guy who robbed the bank with no mask on, you know, died for 8 minutes and came back to life. And then I'm thinking, no. There's no way this guy's going to come out. And you hear Nick freaking Gage. I'm like, I had to blink twice because I was like, what is, like, AEW, like, they're going balls to the walls right now. Like, they're like ECW.
Yeah, so, exactly. So that, like, all right, and I've said this many times on this show over the years. I don't watch wrestling no more. I don't watch any of the products. When it's delivered from that angle, that sounds amazing. So that was a one-shot deal for Nick Gage, that sounds like. There's no reason for that, unless he really somehow impressed them and he had a good rapport with everybody in the back. I can't see them bringing him back.
It was a lot, man. Pizza cutters, glass, light tubes. Like, really? You don't see that on TNT.
With Jericho?
Yes. And Jericho was taking the majority of the hits because he was the pain maker. He came out as the pain maker, Chris Jericho. So his alter ego, when he's like, you know, the devil kind of, you know, and he's taking all these hits. And yes, they're zooming in on TNT, the pizza cutter on the forehead. I'm like, am I really watching this?
Interesting. I got to see that.
It's just like, you know, and the match went long, like a good like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Well, that's like, I guess I saw, so it sounds like there's like five phases to this, I guess, you like you said.
And so next week, it's Juventud Guerrero, yep.
So, and I saw somebody say, are we going to see the Lionheart come out?
Ooh.
So that's what it sounds like. So we're going to see like, I guess, five phases of Jericho.
Right. Now, what do you think AEW needs to do differently than what, you know, WWE did with WCW? A lot of the WWE guys that got released are now in AEW, if you think about it. Like, Swagger, like, the list, like, at least 10 strong. Like, and now with the rumors of Bryan Danielson and CM Punk coming to AEW. Like, yes, they have, like, they're going to have five shows on YouTube and TNT. But when's enough enough and you start promoting the younger talent? How many veterans do you really need in the company that know their place and help build the younger stars?
That's true. That's true. And the rumor I kept seeing all for the last 24 hours now is Brock Lesnar as well.
Could you imagine the modern day NWO? Brock, that Brian Danielson and CM Punk?
Well, that's exactly was the meme. Like, really? One of the podcasts I had done a couple of years ago, back when I did a show in Rhode Island, they were sharing a meme out, and it was that. It was the old NWO, but they had put Brock's and CM Punk's and Brian Danielson's heads on top of the NWO's bodies. So, yeah, that's what it seems like could be going down.
Right. And then you had Darby Allin with Sting basically calling out the best in the world in Chicago, of all places, in September. Right. So could that be CM Punk? Now CM Punk's on Twitter, you know, playing along with it. Or Bryan Danielson called himself the best in the world. And you know that Bryan Danielson, they're saying, signed a contract with AEW.
Right.
So, like, what's going to happen here? You know, it's very interesting.
Okay, that word right there, like, all this stuff is creating such a great buzz for AEW.
Right.
Do you hear any buzz anymore about WWE?
No, just snoring.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no buzz going on.
Right. Now, before I let you go, this is a question that I've been wanting to ask you for a while now. Real life feuds in professional wrestling. Can pro wrestlers work together for the smell of the green? Because you've got Colt Cabana and CM Punk who feuded for a little bit. They're best friends. Now, Punk goes to AEW. Colt's in AEW. When do they put the differences aside, lawyers aside, for that smell of green? And can you?
I think the green will always win out. You can still hate somebody, but if that smell of green is so strong, you'll work with the person.
Really?
I think so.
Have you seen that firsthand at all through all the companies that you've been through?
That's a good question. Off the top of my head, I can't honestly say, because I feel like, for the most part, no matter what, everybody pretty much got along. I'm sure there were some differences on some points, but I think everybody, you know, pretty much got along. And like, see, that's where ECW was so different. Like, no matter what differences people had, people just got along for the best of the company.
Really?
Yeah.
So, circling back to present day now, for you personally, what are you most looking forward to with all your adventures that you got going on right now?
Good question. So it was funny. Like, we got contacted a couple weeks ago by a Nashville magazine to do an article about Cocoa Bay. So, I was completely shocked and surprised and ecstatic. So we're actually going to get that all situated and finalized this weekend, it looks like. And we'll get that set up and sent off. And, so that, and just seeing where the future takes the growth of Cocoa Bay's YouTube channel and our reselling business and the future of life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nothing but good and positive. Like, all the, like, we truly, like, it's crazy. Like, the old me would, like, sit and dwell about bad and negative and get depressed and down. And even like a situation happened earlier today. And I'm not going to go into it, but you know what the situation was. And, you know, we had lined this up and I was like, you know what, dude, like, I'm sorry. Like, I got to bail. Like, it's no good. It's just not a good day. And I'm sorry. And then after a few hours, I was like, you know what, dude, like, I can do this. Let's move on. Let's do this. So, you know, you just got to keep moving forward. Like, you can't keep living in the past. It's no good.
No. So throw out those social media links one more time so that people can follow you and follow all your adventures.
All right. So you can look for me personally. Just look for Bay Ragney on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, The Bay Ragney Show, which I do a few times a week now on Facebook and YouTube, Totally Driven TV, or look for the Coco Bay Winning. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and most importantly, YouTube. Like, subscribe, love, ring the bell everywhere, and come along for the ride.
Definitely. Bay, next time, can we get primetime Amy Lee in here and have a triple threat, completely damaged interview?
I would love that.
Let's set that up, man.
I'm going to reach out to her. Like,
let's see how many times we can hit that sensor button.
I'll reach out to her tomorrow. And yeah, I have your hand on the button because that'll happen a lot.
Nice. I love it, man. Bay, it's always a pleasure talking to you, man. That hour always flies by, man. And appreciate your friendship and appreciate your support always, man.
Back always, man. Back always.
Definitely. Now, Damage fans, remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com where music minds meet. Thanks, Bay. Completely damaged!